This is the first Sunday in June, and so we are going to be sharing a new teaching series. And I have been thinking about what series to go with, and so often after Pentecost, it so often seems to me that it's great to then lead into a thinking about how we share and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Because, of course, after Pentecost, there was that burst of missionary activity by the early church. And it seems to me that it's useful for us to see how we can be part of that missional activity in our world, and how we can play our part in sharing and spreading the good news. So most of the teaching of this series in June is going to be from the Book of Acts. But this morning we're going to start by looking at the last few verses in Luke's Gospel. And I'm going to read, therefore, from Luke chapter 24, and we're looking at verses 44 to 53. So Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. So this is, of course, after Jesus has appeared to his disciples. Verse 36, Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." They were frightened and startled in verse 37, thinking they saw a ghost. And Jesus said to them in verse 38, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And then in verse 44, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of all these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually in the temple, praising God. Amen. So, those words remind us of the last words and acts of Jesus before he was taken back up into heaven. I was in a garden centre this week. I feel as though garden centres have become my second home in the last few months, because we have been doing quite a lot of work in our garden here. So I was in this garden centre, and I was next to the checkouts, and I saw a lawn spreader on special offer. Now, I'm not really a gardener. Sandra is the one with the expert knowledge. And during this period of lockdown, one of our sons has also caught the gardening bug. But I'm usually just told what to go and buy in the garden centre, and I simply go in and I hopefully purchase what I've been told to purchase. I say all of this just to clarify that I wasn't sure what a lawn spreader is for. So I read the blurb under the display, and I discovered that it's designed to evenly distribute fertiliser or grass seeds around your lawn. So I learned something new this week. But during lockdown, we've also heard about another type of spreader, the super spreader. Now, this is a much more dangerous type of spreader. It is a person who passes on the coronavirus to many other people by having contact with them, unaware that they themselves have the virus, and so pass it on to many other people. Well, this morning we are not considering spreading fertilizer, or seeds, or even viruses. We are thinking instead about how we can be effective spreaders of the good news about Jesus Christ. So, in our reading that we shared a moment or two ago, I picked out four different things that I found ways that we can spread the good news. The first one that I picked out was we can spread the good news through our community. Within a few decades, the good news about Jesus spread throughout the Roman Empire. But it all started where the disciples were. Jesus told them that the word would go out to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, beginning just where they were. And the basic calling to each of us as believers is to be representatives of Jesus in the places where we happen to be. Normally this would be with our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, colleges and universities, in our sports clubs, in our pubs, restaurants and coffee shops. But of course in our current situation, so many of these usual places of meeting up are either closed to us or they are so restricted in how we can use them. And yet, despite all of this, these strange times do still present us with opportunities for sharing God's love with those around us. I think conversations over the garden fence, or when we happen to meet people, when we are out taking exercise, or whatever we are doing in those moments when we're outside the house, they have taken on greater importance. Precisely because our circle of such conversations is so much smaller than it normally is. Secondly, we are reminded that we can spread the good news through our own story. Explaining how to understand what is in the Bible can be a great life-enhancing experience for those of us who know Jesus. And that's one of the important things about preaching, that it seeks to help people to understand what is in the Bible, what it's saying to us. And in verse 45 of our reading, it says that Jesus opened up the Word. He opened up the Word and explained to them. He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. And that's an important thing for us as believers, to be able to have our minds challenged by the truth of God's Word. But for those people who are wondering about faith in Christ, who are not yet Christians, not yet believers, they usually need the gospel fleshed out in the life of someone they know. And so that means that our friends, our neighbours, our connections, our work colleagues, if they're going to see Jesus, the likelihood is they're going to see him in our lives. They're going to be looking to us to see what Jesus looks like in the situation where we meet them and know them. You probably remember the incident where Jesus freed a man from the power of evil spirits, and he did it by sending the spirits into a herd of pigs. That story's in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. And at the end of that passage, the man begs Jesus to allow him to go with him as Jesus travels round preaching and healing in his ministry. But I love Jesus' response to the man in verse 19. He says to him, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Seeing and hearing the difference that Jesus has made in our own lives is the most powerful way of sharing the good news. Because when we do that, it has an honesty and a truth to it that is hard to argue against. I think that's what Jesus meant by telling the disciples they were to be witnesses in verse 48 of our reading. They were simply to explain the difference that Jesus had made in their own lives. And that's our calling as well, to share the difference that Jesus has made in our own lives. The third way that we are reminded that we can spread the good news is through our joy. And this might seem like a strange one, but I'm going to explain what I mean by that. Today's reading says that after Jesus was taken up into heaven, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy, in verse 52. Of course, being joyful in this situation may not seem to be such a difficult thing. Yes, Jesus has just left them, but the disciples were all worshipping together and had just been told by Jesus to wait for a gift that would give them spiritual power and authority. And so perhaps they were just filled with joy because of the circumstances that they were in. But harder times were to come. Our understanding is that we know from Scripture, from the New Testament, from Acts, that all of the disciples were going to be persecuted. And we know from church tradition that many of the disciples, the apostles, would be martyred, would be killed for their faith. And of course we have one example of that in the Acts of the Apostles, because Stephen, who wasn't actually one of the apostles, but was a wonderful Christian young man, we know from Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60, we know the way in which he was martyred, the way he gave his life. We know of the joy that he expressed, even in death, the way that he said, "Father, forgive them." And had that sense of deep-seated joy that wasn't dependent on his circumstances. Even as Stephen died, he was praying God's forgiveness on those who were killing him. So joy is not dependent on our feelings and on our circumstances. As Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, he says, "I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Now, I don't know about you, but this is a real challenge to me. How much joy do we feel when things don't go the way that we want them to go? How much joy do we feel when someone disagrees with us or speaks badly of us behind our backs? Is our joy rooted in our feelings and our circumstances? Or is our joy something deeper that is rooted not in how things are right now, but rooted in our relationship with God that is a steadfast foundation in our lives? Are we like a cork tossed on the sea, or are we like a ship with an anchor that drops down into the seabed so that it cannot drift off on the waves? Fourthly, we are reminded that we can spread the good news through the church. When the good news of Jesus really began to spread, the new believers needed somewhere to go to be able to learn more about the scripture, to pray and worship together, and to support one another. Now, most of the first Christians were Jewish, and they still saw themselves as such. And so they saw two natural options in terms of where to gather. They either gathered in the temple, as it says in verse 53 of our reading, or they gathered in each other's homes. And we find that Acts chapter 2, which of course leads straight on from Luke's gospel, Acts chapter 2 tells us in verses 46 and 47, it shows that the apostles and the believers quickly started to do both of these things. Those verses say, every day the believers continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. These words remind us again that the church is not a place that we go to, but a people that we belong to. I think that's incredibly important for us to remember at this time. We are not unable to go to church. We're unable to gather physically as a church, but the church is who we are, not where we go to. So whether gathered or scattered, we still belong to each other because we all remain or abide in Christ, as Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. The first great North African theologian was a man named Tertullian. And we think he was born around 160 AD and probably died around 220 AD. And he once quoted a pagan official who had observed a community of Christians and said of those Christians, look at how much they love each other. Look at how much they love each other. You see, that's where I think our love for each other is actually about outreach. How we love is seen by those outside the church. And if we love well, other people do see it. If we love poorly, they also see it. So how Christians work together in the church, but also work together in the workplace or in other situations, can be a great witness to the power of the gospel. But I would say even more than that, how Christians disagree well is a great witness to the power of the gospel. When we don't see things the same way, when we have honest, deep disagreements about things, but say, my relationship with you matters more than me winning this argument, or being prepared to accept the fact that we don't agree on this, but our love is bigger and deeper than this issue. I believe that speaks powerfully in our world and to the world around us. I pray that even in these challenging days, we will learn to be spreaders of God's love and grace in a world of fear and mistrust. Amen. Let's finish with a prayer together, shall we? I want to just read a prayer, a benediction, written by Cardinal John Henry Newman, who was a Catholic cardinal back in the 19th century. The prayer says this: O dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Shine through us, and be so in us that everyone we come into contact with may feel your presence. Let them look at us and see no longer us, but you, Lord. Amen. I pray that you will know and sense and be a spreader of God's presence and fragrance in your life this week. Amen. God bless you.